Who's ever got control of this microphone, turn it down a little bit. This third chapter of Bhagavad Gita is entitled Karma Yoga, and it deals with a number of subject matters, and it concludes, and I'll read the concluding verse. Evam buddhir param buddhva samstabhyant mana atmana jahi satur mahabaho kama rupa durasadam. Thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence, O mighty armed Arjuna, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, Krishna consciousness, and thus, by a spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Does a microphone normally sound like this, or is it me? Okay. I'd play with it. Yeah, that's not a good idea. Hare Krishna. Actually, I started a program. Srimate Sukhata Prabhu Mataji, that way you get everybody, you know, depending on which level you're on. There's all these controversies about what you're supposed to call the ladies. So I just do it all. Purport. This third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is conclusively directive to Krishna consciousness by knowing oneself as eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without considering impersonal voidness the ultimate end. In the material existence of life, one is certainly influenced by the propensities for lust and desire for dominating the resources of material nature. Desire for overloading and for sense gratification is the greatest enemy of the conditioned soul. But by the strength of Krishna consciousness, one can control the material senses, mind, and the intelligence. One may not give up work and prescribed duties all of a sudden, but by gradually developing Krishna consciousness, one can be situated in the transcendental position without being influenced by the material senses and the mind, by steady intelligence directed towards one's pure identity. This is the sum total of this chapter. In the immature stage of material existence, philosophical speculation and artificial attempts to control the senses by so-called practice of yoga postures can never help a man towards spiritual life. He must be trained in Krishna consciousness by higher intelligence. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports for the third chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of karma yoga, or the discharge of one's prescribed duties in Krishna consciousness. Om Agyan Tamaranda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Omanutam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha. We are born in the darkness of ignorance, and our spiritual master is opening our heart with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, we offer our most humble and respectful obeisances at the dust of your lotus feet. So this concluding verse, actually, even many times when discussing other sections of the Bhagavad Gita, when you made it, discussing other sections of Bhagavad Gita, I often refer to this because the translation is very nice. Thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence. That's a pretty big step. I mean, if we actually can understand that we're transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence, that's quite an advanced position. And it goes in progressive order. Yeah. the senses. We first try to conquer the senses, then the mind and the intelligence. But when you go backwards, we utilize the intelligence to conquer the mind, and the mind then conquers the senses. Almighty Amda Arjuna. Then Krishna says one should study the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence. This is our position in this world, that this material world is made in such a way, and we have entered it. This is described right after Arjuna asked the question. This is actually the conclusion of the Gita, but prior to that, Arjuna asked the question as to why the living entity, or why to someone who is striving to control his senses, why does he commit sinful activities even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? You know, it's like when I was a kid, I don't remember the name of the TV show, but there was a TV show and some guy used to always walk across the stage and said, "The devil made me do it, the devil made me do it, the devil made me do it." I don't remember, but I remember that walking across, but I don't remember the name of the show. So it's kind of like that, you know, like, you know, it's, you know, I didn't, it's not me, it's like the devil made me do it, you know, it's not my fault, you know, somebody else made me do it. So Arjuna asked that question. He says, why is one impelled to sinful activities even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? So in that commentary, Prabhupada explains that there is another element that is driving us, but it's not the super soul. It is clearly not Krishna that's making us do these sinful activities. What it is described in the next verse. That verse, Artikena Puyukto Yam Papam Karati Purush, by what is one impelled to sinful activities as if given by force. And Krishna explains, Kamayesha Kodesha Rajaguna Samundavaha. He said it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born in the mode of passion. And it's created from the mode of passion, and then it deteriorates into the mode of ignorance and becomes wrath or anger. And if I remember right, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, and the subsidiaries. I always wondered what those subsidiaries to anger were, but I'm sure that you can study that. There are, rage and so many crazy things, you know. I mean, you don't have to wait very long, and you know somebody's shooting up someplace because they, you know, tipped off the scale for the day, and it was all due to this unfulfilled desire. So in this verse, it's described that by deliberate spiritual intelligence. So this spiritual intelligence is actually there, dormant within every one of us, because we are all Satchidananda, spirit soul. We are all eternal, full of knowledge, and full of happiness. That is our constitutional position. Now we're just covered over by this material body. And this material body is formed or composed of modes of material nature. Now, when we say the material body, we, in the 13th chapter, Prabhupada explains that the body means the senses. In other places, he says the senses and the mind and intelligence. So we have these different aspects. The senses are 10, which are 5 working and 5 knowledge acquiring. And then they're grouped about the mind, which is considered the 11th sense. And then we have our intelligence. So if Krishna is telling us that one should study the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, and then Prabhupada, in the book it says, parentheses, it has Krishna consciousness, and thus by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. So this lust or desire for sense gratification is very strong and it is very prominent. So in that verse, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna, Samunbhavaha. Srila Prabhupada explains very clearly where this strength for desire comes from. And he says that the living entity, we, spirit souls, each and every one of us, we have prema bhakti within the heart. That pure love for Krishna is our position. And I know a whole subtopic is our independence, because Krishna is Surat, he is independent, and because we're part of Krishna, we also have minute independence, which we use. So when that independence is misused, then one is given facility by Krishna to try to utilize it, but that the utility arena is the material world. And the material world is composed of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Its composition is goodness, passion, and ignorance. So Prabhupada explains that when the pure living entity who has pure love for Krishna leaves the spiritual world and comes in contact with the material world, then that natural love that one has for Krishna becomes touched by the modes of material nature. And that love is transformed into desire or kama or lust for material sense gratification. Prabhupada gives example, he says, just like milk when touched by sour tamarind becomes yogurt. So when we examine the situation, especially no hands went up, so I'm sure everyone here is very well read, that when we examine the situation of our existence in this world, we can understand that we have a very, very, very strong propensity for sense gratification, which we are born into due to our previous desires. I've been reading Bhagavatam a lot lately, and I went through the fourth canto. I'm on almost through the fifth now. In the fourth canto, it was described that all these desires that we have, they're stockpiled in the heart, which means the mind. All these desires, they're stockpiled in the mind. And what happens is that when one leaves their body, and these desires are still residing within the heart, then they're carried to the next body. The mind, intelligence, and the ego, they go with the soul through the vehicle. And it's transferred by the grace, I guess you can say, of the super soul, through the medium the super soul takes, because the super soul knows our desire, he knows our position. And one is given another facility to try to satisfy those remaining desires, and one gets another particular type of body. Now when we study the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we'll discover that upon getting another body, the living entity gets a particular sense of smell, taste, hearing, all these different knowledge acquiring senses. The living entity is given a particular one. I gave the example recently, just like, I think you can still do it, but I know when I was a child that if you wanted to buy a new car, you could go to the car dealer and you could say, I want this car, this color, with this kind of tires, this kind of hubcap, this kind of engine, this kind of that, and then you order, and then a few months later, your special order car would come. So what we did in our previous life is that we had an accumulation of material desires, and they were stockpiled in the heart, in the mind. And through that form of desire, we actually got a special order vehicle, and we're residing in it right now. This is actually custom made. And although it may be a lemon, and there's a lemon law in Florida, try to collect. We can understand the potency of that material desires. because it's just a perversion of our original love for Krishna. It's a perverted reflection. It's a distorted or inverted, I don't know what the word is. It's transformed. That love, that prema that's present within our heart for Krishna becomes transformed when it's touched by the modes of material nature into kama or desire for material sense gratification. And actually that purport is very beautiful because it's described that the living entity begins, when, due to the effect of the modes of material nature, the living entity begins to, actually it's further on, a few verses later, the sitting places of this desire are described, that the senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of this kama, of this desire or lust. That's where it sits, that's where it resides. So Prabhupada really, very nicely explains that the enemy, you know, lust, this is considered to be the enemy, has overtaken strategic points. The senses, the mind, and intelligence. It is actually, you know, he made it almost like into a military description, that it has conquered specific points. So Prabhupada explains, he said, that Krishna is so kind that if you're going to go to battle and you know where the enemy is and you know what who the enemy is, you have a better chance of conquering it. But if you don't, like nowadays, everything is like secret. There's no rules. You can just, you know, go blow up a bus in the, or whatever, sneak in. And we don't know where they are, what they're doing, so it's very difficult to overcome. But Prabhupada explains that Krishna is kind. He gives us direct information of where the enemy is residing. So he said that the senses, the mind, and the intelligence. So it's described in the Bhagavatam, actually it's also described here, that the sense objects themselves are stronger than the senses. The objects of the senses are stronger than the senses themselves. And we've experienced that because, say for example, you walk by a pizza parlor, you start to think, oh, that smells good. I mean, and you're drawn to that. So that sense object is actually stronger than the senses. The senses become submissive to that situation. We see that if a man sees a beautiful lady, then immediately the mind wants to follow. So we've all experienced that who are on this gender, and the ladies, I presume it's the same. I can't remember my last lady's body, but I presume it's the same. So it's just drawn. The sense objects are very, very strong. So what the mind is, the senses there are like little satellite computers. A little knowledge acquiring computers, they just bring information in and they bring it into the mind. And the mind function is to accept and reject based on the modes of material nature that we've acquired from our previous life. And the mind will say that, yes, I like this, or no, I don't like this. So then what happens is that the senses and the mind, they then become the repositories of these sense of gratification, this desire for sense, they become the repositories for that. And in the purport, Prabhupada describes then the next department. It's really nice. The department, he said, then the next department is the intelligence. He said, then the information goes into the intelligence department. And when the intelligence has become touched by the mode of passion, the intelligence is the next door neighbor to the soul. The intelligence is right next door to the neighbor, to the soul. And when the intelligence becomes touched by the modes of passion, what happens is that the intelligence then acquires false ego. And once we acquire false ego means that we falsely identify ourselves to be this material body. It's just a complete false identification. Because if we examine ourselves, we'll know that we're not the body. Everybody here has, heard this 1,000 times. Practically speaking, if you listen to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, it'll be on that tape. It would be, you know, almost every lecture, it's there, that we're not this material body. But we identify so much with it. So the intelligence becomes touched specifically by the mode of passion, and that passion, you know, if not checked with Krishna consciousness, as this verse says, by deliberate spiritual intelligence, if that intelligence isn't developed through spiritual knowledge, then what happens is that that mode of passion, which now makes us identify with the material body, deteriorates into the mode of ignorance. And when it deteriorates into the mode of ignorance, we all know from the second chapter that while contemplating the object of the senses, one becomes attached, and from attached, when we become attached, then we become, and it doesn't work out, then we become angry, and then we become bewildered, and we become illusioned, and we just fall into the pool of material network again. So we want to elevate that intelligence, we want to take that, gain that spiritual intelligence. So in this teaching, in this section, I'm getting to the intelligence, to this point of the verse today, but once the living entity's intelligence becomes touched by the material nature, the modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, and he assumes his false ego, then what happens is that he engages the senses in the activities of sense gratification. And by repeatedly doing that over and over again, what happens is that he becomes accustomed to that, and to the point where he becomes addicted. The living entity actually becomes addicted to that process of trying to satisfy the senses with the sense objects, to no avail, ultimately. As everyone here, I mean, we all know it doesn't work. We've been trying for millions of lifetimes, and it hasn't worked yet, but we keep on trying because we're addicted. I remember one time about 10 years ago, I gave class here in New Ramamurti, and I said, just like they have Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, and they have their 12-step program, and they have NA, Narcotics Anonymous. So here we have SGA, Sense Gratifiers Anonymous. We gather every morning at 4:30, we go before Radhe Shyam and say, hi, my name is Maharaj, I'm an addict. And we have our 16-step program where we chant our rounds every day, 16 rounds, to overcome our addiction. Because through this chanting of Hare Krishna, Chaita Darpana Marjanam Bhavama Hali Navarpanam, that it cleanses the heart of all unwanted things, and it extinguishes the fire of material existence. So the process of Krishna consciousness is one whereby we want to develop our spiritual intelligence. Actually, there's a very nice verse towards the at the end of the 16th chapter that I should know, but I don't. At the very end of the 16th chapter, Krishna says, one should therefore understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scripture. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated. So it's through this process of spiritual education and spiritual activities that we cleanse the heart. And when the intelligence, when we actually use our intelligence properly, rather than, see, the intelligence is for discrimination. Mind is for accepting and rejecting, and the intelligence is for discrimination. So now we discriminate, now everything's polluted by the modes of material nature. And when the mind tells you that you like this and you don't like that, then the intelligence, it uses its discriminatory powers to it directs us how to do that. So now the intelligence, it's very strong. It's a good vehicle. It's a good potency. But if it's contaminated, then it will continue to contaminate us as a living entity because we're misdirected. So we develop that intelligence through study of the Shastra. I remember one time, I've heard this story, I wasn't there, but the devotees were distributing Prabhupada's books, and he asked, "Are you reading?" And he said, "Well, we just don't really have that much time, you know, we're outside, you know." And he said, "No, I wrote these books for you to read so you can understand what everything is going on here." So we need to daily have a dose of spiritual guidance. And my experience has been that no matter when, where, or how, because the mind is very cuckoo. And I don't know what to say. It's just really cuckoo. And whenever you open up a book, it'll be on that point. And that's my experience. If you because I have all the books on my phone now, that's really cool. I almost know how to use it, pretty much. And you're standing in line, I just push the button and the books come up and I just read something, and it's just exactly where I'm at. And it's exactly what I need for that moment. So by deliberate spiritual intelligence, that means we develop our spiritual intelligence and then we use it deliberately. Because the tendency is that we wander. The mind wanders so much. And it has to be controlled. But the only thing that can control it is, as Krishna says, by spiritual strength. By spiritual strength, we have an opportunity to overcome the dictates of the mind. I don't remember what year it was, but there was some Hare Krishna musicians. One's name was Shelter, and one's name was 108. And I traveled with them 2 summers. And every day we were in a different city, and I just sat at the book table. It was really fun. I mean, it was so, all these young kids with so many questions. So they had one song, and it was called Slave. And it said, "Don't tell me, don't tell me, don't tell me you're not addicted. You're not a slave." Because sometimes people say that religious people, they become a slave to their leader, they become a slave to their commitments to the religious practices, and we're not slaves, we're free. But the song was, "Don't tell me that you're not a slave, because I see you, I see that you're addicted to your senses, and you don't have a choice." So this is the message, that we have this problem, this addiction problem to material sense gratification. And the consequences of that are repetition of birth and death within this material world. So we want to develop that spiritual intelligence and utilize it, because there's always a choice. We've given the example many times that even within this material world, although there is so much destiny that we have to undergo, so much... Actually, the other day I was describing that all of us have PTSD. How do you say it? PTSD. We all have PTSD. Every one of us in the material world has it. Post-traumatic stress disorder from our previous lives and from whatever, from this life, from the previous lives. We're all, in fact, I even got a book, PTSD for Dummies. The one that said idiots, I said, that's not quite right. I'll take the one for dummies, not idiots. So we all have this, and so we want to overcome that situation and not be victimized by these unjustified desires. They're unjustified. Vajahatiya dakama sarva partham anobhitim. He says, when Arjuna asked Krishna, what are the symptoms of one who is situated transcendentally? He says, Praja hadi hada karma sarva partha manogatim. He says, when a man gives up all varieties of sense gratification, sense desires, which are due to mental concoction, they're just due to mental concoction, then he's understood to be situated in transcendence. So everything that we think, because we're thinking all the time, and were active all the time. In the beginning of this third chapter, around the fourth or fifth, sixth verse, Krishna explains that the embodied soul is in this body, and he has controlled by a certain nature. So Prabhupada writes that it's not a matter of being embodied, but it is the actual nature of the soul to be active. It's the soul that's active. The soul is the active ingredient within this body. Without the soul, it's just a dead bunch. It's just, the body is just a dead lump of matter. But because the soul is present, then the body, it acts in different ways. Krishna explains that in the 13th chapter, where he says, what's that verse? He says, just as the sun alone illuminates this universe with light, so the soul, yatapakashya eka krishna lokam edamadavai, so the soul, just as this universe is illuminated by the sun, eka, one sun, so the soul, so the living entity is illumined, the body is illuminated with consciousness by the soul. And the Prabhupada explains, wherever you see consciousness, you can understand that there's a soul present. So every living entity has a certain level of consciousness, even trees. I was reading today in the Bhagavatam or something, and it says that if one wants to act in such a lustful way or whatever, he can take birth as a tree and just not be able to move. Just calm down. Just, be dumb and just be a tree for a while, get it together. So, again, we want to go back to the to this verse, and knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence. And we must know this, because when it's not that we're just going to go live in a vacuum somewhere. It doesn't work. The mind will follow you wherever you go. That's the nature of the mind. You can try to hide from it. It won't work. It can't work. Because the mind is insatiable. It's flickering. It's chanchalam. It's unsteady. It has all these wonderful qualities, And it's funny, I remember I was given an example the other day at Krishna House. I think it was Krishna House, or maybe I was talking to somebody on the computer. And I said, when I was a kid, we used to get obscene phone calls, Remember those obscene phone calls? And you just somebody would call up and say all kinds of things. You just hang up, And I was explaining that if the mind gives you an obscene phone call, you'll say, well, that doesn't sound too bad. Maybe I ought to get into that for a little while, That's a good idea. If an obscene phone call comes, you just hang up the phone. What is a crazy person calling me and telling me all this stuff? But if your own mind tells you, you think, it's been a while since I tried that. Maybe I ought to give that a go, So, and the mind will come up with many mental concoctions. Puja hadiya da karma sarva partha manogatim. Manogatim. It's like a mental concoction. Actually, the fifth chapter describes that too. Yehi shang sparsha jabogam. Dukkha yonana evatu. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. Such, O Sena Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and end when the wise man does not delight in them. So, it's all the same. This idea is that if we can just understand that we are transcendental to these senses, and we're transcendental to this mind and senses. That's our position. And then act upon that knowledge. It's not like, I heard a lecture one time, and I don't remember exactly how Prabhupada exactly said, but I'll summarize it, and that is if one goes all the way through medical school and becomes a doctor, but then doesn't do medical work, what is the value of his education? So in the same way, we go through all this training of Krishna consciousness, but we don't utilize that training to execute our guide our lives, then what is the use of all that knowledge that we've gained? We have to use that knowledge. there's GAN and VGAN, and I just read it. I wish I could remember, because I read another. VGAN was given a different term, but we've always said that GAN means knowledge and VGAN means realized knowledge. So in order to get to the point of realized knowledge, we have to use the GAN that we get in a practical way, we have to practice. We have to practice that knowledge. So when the mind wanders, or the senses bring in information, and now, according to our modes, we want to accept or reject, we stop it with spiritual strength, and we say, wait a second. That's not going to make me happy. That's not going to work. I mean, I tried that. I've tried that before, and it didn't work before. Why is it going to work this time? And the mind says, oh, no, it'll work this time. You just didn't try it better. I remember being, like, getting Prabhupada's books and reading them, and then meeting the devotees. And the devotees, you know how the beginning is. It's just like, okay, it's cool. The pictures are cool. All their Sanskrit words, that's cool. Everything's cool. You're still sitting doing all kinds of nefarious activities. And I remember the devotees come and say, you just can't enjoy the material world. And I said, just come live with me. I'll show you how to do it. I mean, there's something wrong with you. I mean, if you're not enjoying it, you come down here. You can stay at my house. We'll fill you in on the details. And then after a while, I've explained this. After a while, all those activities became so distasteful. They were so relishable before, but they became so distasteful. And the devotees called me up and they said, when are you going to surrender? They always, they bug you. When are you going to surrender? Yeah. I've explained this before. When are you going to surrender? I said, these devotees were from Canada. I lived real close to Canada. And I said, I don't surrender. I'm American. We don't surrender. We fight to the last, drop of blood, And I remember them telling me, you're such a fool. You don't think you're surrendered? You're surrendered to so many things. You're surrendered to your girlfriend. You're surrendered to your job. You're surrendered to your parents. You're surrendered to this. You're surrendered to that. Even your own country, You're surrendered to so many things. Why don't you just surrender to Krishna? You have to surrender, so why not just Krishna? What's wrong with Krishna? And the taste, then after a while, what happens is that the activities of engaging in sense gratification become very pale. And then you're not in the material world, and you're not in the spiritual world. I remember calling the temple up and saying, you guys ruined my life. Before I was enjoying it, now I can't enjoy anymore. And I can't be with you, and I can't be here. That's just like, I'm totally confused. Kapanya dosha. Now I'm confused about my duty, and I've lost all, due to miserly weakness. Please, Krishna, instruct me what I should do. What's best for me? So we come to that point. So this is a grand scheme of things, that when one comes to the point in life where everything doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. We can't make heads or tails of it, they say. And we actually want to understand, what's going on here. I want to be happy, but unhappiness happens. I want to be healthy, but it's never going to work. Devotees always say nowadays, we're all getting to become seasoned citizens. Some of my friends say, yeah, we're in the autumn of our lives. I say, well, I think I'm close to the winter, but autumn sounds pretty good. At least the trees are pretty and they have those colored leaves. So, we all go through these different phases. So, based on spiritual strength, we can do it. But there's that story Prabhupada said, I think it's a fables or something, where they have one stick breaks, but if you have 10 that doesn't break, I can't remember. Prabhupada used that example. Together we can overcome. Individually, we'll fail, because material nature is an onslaught. It's huge. But if we develop a community whereby we have good association and nice facility like we have here, then we can overcome by the strength, by spiritual strength, by spiritual association. We can overcome the onslaught of this material energy. I think I have to, I haven't been there for so long. What time does it end? How long are we supposed to go?
You could take your questions now.
Okay. The commander says I can take questions. If anybody has a question or something they'd like to ask, I can try to answer.
Maharaj, are you saying about the sticks? When the sticks are together, they're unbreakable. So I'm wondering, because people can be geographically in the same place, but not really be, you know, very unified or together. So I'm wondering if you can give some, you know, what's the secret to actually, you know, associating in such a way that, you know, we're really strong together.
Yeah, I was just reading that the other day. I think it was either in the Chaitanya Charitamrita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, one point comes from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And I actually saved it on my computer. If I had my computer, I could read it to you. The Srila Prabhupada, it was discussing the point of envy. And Srila Prabhupada was stating in the purport his desire to create a society that was free of envy. And that this Krishna conscious movement should establish such an entity that, or organization that is devoid of envy, because in the material world, there's no such place. It just doesn't exist. And in the Bhagavad Gita, towards the last section, the last six chapters, probably explains envy as someone seeing something or quality or object that somebody else has and thinking that I should have that. That should be mine. So that's envy. So we want to become non-envious. We, in order to do that, we have to, in my opinion, which, you know, may or may not be good, we have to take self-inventory of ourselves and learn that this is the package that I've been given in this lifetime, and be satisfied, and in the sense that, not satisfied in the sense that, you know, okay, this is okay, but be satisfied understanding that this is where I am and I can move forward from this point, you know, acknowledging where I have to move forward from. And another point is that in that you asked how you can do it within the community, you know, when with this situation. And one of my friends, he's not here tonight, but I won't mention his name, he lives here in the community. He one time told me, you know, Maharaj, he says, the Hare Krishna movement is our family. And it's just like in your own family, you can't choose who your brothers and sisters are going to be. They just come out of your parents, and whoever your brothers and sisters are, they're your brothers and sisters. They may be good people, they may be bad people, they may be this, they may be that. And so we just have to, you know, they're our family. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada is our eternal father, and all of us are his children or grandchildren, and we're family. And we have to learn the act of tolerance. I think it was 75 or 76, Amarendra Prabhu, who was here when we bought this property, was in Vrindavan, and they were on, Prabhupada had sent, Mayapur Vrindavan festival, where they would do both at the same time for Gopinim. And they sent all the devotees out, maybe 100 or so devotees in Vrindavan, different groups, like maybe 10, 20 people in each group, to do Harinam around the city. And then they had a plan to gather in one spot and everybody be together, and, you know, different groups were going different directions. And his group came back, and because he was a temple president, and he was also In God We Trust, plus the deprogramming, you know, Prabhupada, he could get into Prabhupada's room. So he went into Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada was discussing things. And he was saying that, I know you're not used to living like this. This situation is not normal for your American, European American boys and girls. This is not your normal situation. And he said, no matter how intolerable it becomes, just please tolerate. No matter how intolerable it becomes, you tolerate. So this idea of toleration is there. And also, in a community this size, there's no question of not being able to find like-minded people. It has to be like-minded people. And I search out like-minded people. And nowadays, what do they, I always forget what they call that, but the modern communication systems. I mean, I was just talking with Giriraj Swami for an hour and a half yesterday. And I could see him, and he could see me, and we had a wonderful, wonderful discussion for an hour and a half about Prabhupada and Krishna and our devotional practices and how to move forward and how to avoid the stumbling blocks. So, Yeah, Skype, and, you know, we were on Skype, but there's so many different methods nowadays to keep in touch with people. So, find the people that you can associate with. Appreciate everyone. Appreciate everyone. Because it's a glorious day when someone comes and puts their head on the floor in front of Prabhupada's lotus feet. It's a glorious day for that soul. And they're special. They're very special people that can do that. And we're all composed of the modes of material nature. And our natures are still prominent or active, and my nature may be of one night type and yours may be of another. I'll give an example. I don't remember what year it was, but I think it was in the Bush era, and they attacked Iraq or someplace, and I came to Gainesville. And every time I come to Gainesville, this year I didn't do it, but usually I will call certain people just to say hi, I haven't seen you for a long time, blah, blah, blah. So I called one person up and said, I'm ready to take a bullet for Bush, you know, I'm tired of these people, I'm ready to take a bullet, I'm ready to go right now, this is it, you know, that's it, you know, I'm taking all I can take. And I said, oh, okay, you know, how's your Japa, you know? You know, and then we talked for a while, and then I hung up and I called another person, he said, I'm ready to go kill that damn boy, Bush is doing it again, just like Vietnam, I've had enough of these people, I'm ready, you know. He was going to go kill a bullet. One guy was going to take a bullet. One guy was going to give a bullet. And I come to the Sunday feast, and they're arm in arm in the temple and dancing together. This is Krishna consciousness. Now, I don't know if they knew each other's philosophies, but so collectively, you know, that we can get that strength. Because there's a diversity now. There's a great diversity within Krishna consciousness. But no matter what strain or what venue you're on, whatever political party you have, you're all focused on Prabhupada. And that's our central point. Our central point is Srila Prabhupada. How we may disagree on how to view him and how to, you know, engage with him, but that's the focus point, and that'll save us. That'll really save us. So that gives us strength, you know. I search out association. I systematically search out good association on a daily basis. Daily basis. And hopefully I won't break. Because even if you have like 10, 20, the outside one may break. I try to sneak inside. So any other questions or comments? It's so nice to see everyone. I've been here for 4 months. Yes, sit down.
I should come more, you should come more often and give class.
Okay. I was here for 4 months. And I got here August 20th, and I'm leaving on December 17th. But I live in Gainesville. And when you live in Gainesville, Alachua is a long ways away. Especially when your car's in Houston.
I bet we could arrange somebody to come and pick you up and bring you here.
Okay. I won't tell you why in public, but I'll tell you why in private. Okay. So thank you all very much. It's a blessing. It's by the blessings of devotees that one can engage in spiritual life. So please seek out the blessings of the Vaishnavas. And we'll end with Panchakalpa, Kirubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu, Vaivacha, Patitanam, Pavanevyo, Vaishnavindyo, Namo Namaha. Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, Ki Jai.